भक्ति देवी की जय, तुलसी महारानी की जय, यमुना देवी की जय, गंगा देवी की जय, श्यामा देवी भक्तवृंद की जय, गौर प्रेमानंदे. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. So, there is a lot of information in Srimad Bhagavatam about Lord Shiva. As I was preparing yesterday and today, I realized I could do probably a month's seminar every day on Lord Shiva, what's there in Srimad Bhagavatam. So in all the sections that I prepared, I found that the section dealing with the Daksha Yajna would be most appropriate and suitable, because we will get a nice understanding of Lord Shiva. So, we should first of all chant the 12-syllable mantra as we learn from Srila Prabhupada. And that 12-syllable mantra is the very first phrase of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 So where did Amol go? I want him here. He should be here. I want you here. I want you here with me. All right, very good. So, at this particular point in Srimad Bhagavatam, Maitreya is answering the questions of Vidura, and he comes to the point, Maitreya comes to the point of discussing the Daksha Yajna. And Daksha had been appointed by Lord Brahma as the chief of all the Prajapatis. So Daksha entered the sacrificial arena, and he was so great in stature, he was so prominent and glowing, everyone stood up to show their respects to Daksha, because Lord Brahma had elevated him as the chief of all the Prajapatis, a very prestigious position. So everyone stood up except Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva was sitting in meditation. He was meditating on Krishna within the heart, and he was actually in samadhi. So Daksha had, before this, he had some grudge or dislike for Lord Shiva, because he had to turn over his pet daughter, Sati. In marriage, Brahma had given the instruction that Daksha should give his daughter to Lord Shiva in marriage. But Daksha never really liked the idea. So he had this ongoing grudge against Lord Shiva. And so when he entered the assembly and saw that Lord Shiva didn't stand up to recognize him as the father-in-law, as the preeminent personality in the sacrifice, Daksha then understood, this is my opportunity to vent my anger. So Daksha immediately started to criticize and blaspheme Lord Shiva in so many ways. And he went on and on, criticizing and blaspheming. And there was almost a big disturbance at the sacrifice, but it was quelled down. There was lots of talking, and the followers of Lord Shiva were ready to retaliate. But Lord Shiva set the best example, that while Daksha was speaking so many things, Lord Shiva remained silent. He did not retaliate. He didn't try to counter. He didn't try to defend himself. He remained silent. And after some time, Lord Shiva and his followers left the sacrifice. So later, Sati and Lord Shiva have a discussion. And what is happening is that there's another sacrifice now being performed at Daksha's place. And Sati is seeing all the demigoddesses and all the other ladies are nicely dressed and going to the sacrifice. Sati was not invited, but she still wanted to go anyway. So there's a discussion between Sati and Lord Shiva, which is my first reading. So try to hear now. We will learn many nice things. In this manner, the tension between the father-in-law and son-in-law, Daksha and Lord Shiva, continued for a considerably long period. When Lord Brahma appointed Daksha the chief of all the Prajapatis, or progenitors of population, Daksha became very much puffed up. Daksha began a sacrifice named Vajapeya, and he became excessively confident of his support by Lord Brahma. He then performed another great sacrifice named Brihaspati Sava. While the sacrifice was being performed, many Brahmarshis, great sages, ancestral demigods, and other demigods, their wives, all very nicely decorated with ornaments, attended from different parts of the universe. The chaste lady, Sati, the daughter of Daksha, heard the heavenly denizens flying in the sky, conversing about the great sacrifice being performed by her father. When she saw that from all directions, the beautiful wives of the heavenly damsels, their eyes very beautifully glittering, and they were near her residence and were going to the sacrifice, dressed in fine clothing and ornaments, with earrings and necklaces, with lockets, she approached her husband, the master of the Bhutas, in great anxiety and spoke as follows. My dear Lord Shiva, your father-in-law is now executing great sacrifices, and all the demigods, having been invited by him, are going there. If you desire, we may also go. I think that all my sisters must have gone to this great sacrificial ceremony with their husbands just to see their relatives. I also desire to decorate myself with the ornaments given to me by my father and go there with you to participate in that assembly. My sisters, my mother's sisters and their husbands, and other affectionate relatives must be assembled there. So if I go, I shall be able to see them, and I shall be able to see the flapping flags and the performance of the sacrifice by great sages. For these reasons, my dear husband, I am very much anxious to go. This manifested cosmos is a wonderful creation of the interaction of the three material modes. What are they? Yes? Excellent. Or the external energy of the Supreme Lord. This truth is fully known to you. Yet, I am but a poor woman. And as you know, I am not conversant with the truth. Therefore, I wish to see my birthplace once more. O never born, O blue-throated one. So, notice now, two descriptions of Lord Shiva. He's never born, and he has that blue throat, Nilakant. Not only my relatives, but also other women, dressed in nice clothes and decorated with ornaments, are going there with their husbands and friends. Just see how their flocks of white airplanes have made the entire sky very beautiful. So, the airplane is not a modern invention. They had airplanes millions and millions of years ago. Actually, these airplanes, far superior to our 747s. Far superior. How can the body of a daughter remain undisturbed when she hears that some festive event is taking place in her father's house? Even though you may be considering that I have not been invited, there is no harm if one goes to the house of one's friend, husband, spiritual master, or father without invitation. O immortal Shiva, please be kind towards me and fulfill my desire. You have accepted me as half of your body. This is true. And later on in sixth canto, Lord Brahma, there's also a statement that the wife is considered the better half. And there's even a statement in the Bhagavatam, Lakshmi is the better half of Narayan. So these are not, you know, things we just say to be politically correct. They're true. These are Vedic statements. They're true. She just said, you have accepted me as half your body. Therefore, please show kindness towards me and accept my request. The great sage Maitreya said, Lord Shiva, the deliverer of the hill Kailas, having thus been addressed by his dear wife, replied smilingly, although at the same time he remembered the malicious, heart-piercing speeches delivered by Daksha before the guardians of the universal affairs. The great Lord replied, my dear, beautiful wife, you have said that one may go to a friend's house without being invited, and that is true, provided such a friend does not find fault with the guest because of bodily identification and thereby become angry towards him or her. So the first point here, all problems arise from the bodily concept. When you're free from the bodily concept, then you don't have any kinds of problems with other living entities because you see things equally. You're free from envy. But as soon as the identification with the material body sets in, there's going to be problems. Although the six qualities, education, austerity, wealth, beauty, youth, and heritage, are for the highly elevated, one who is proud of possessing them becomes blind, and thus he or she loses one good sense and cannot appreciate the glories of great personalities. Lord Shiva is reminding us what Lord Chaitanya instructs us. Always remain meek and humble. If we want to make spiritual advancement, This is the key to success, remaining meek and humble. This cannot be overemphasized. Jesus Christ taught his apostles the same thing. The meek shall inherit the earth. So Lord Chaitanya advised, constantly remind yourself to remain meek and humble. Lord Shiva goes on, one should not go to anyone's house, even on the consideration of his or her being a relative or friend, when that person is disturbed in mind and looks upon the guest with raised eyebrows and angry eyes. If one is hurt by the arrows of an enemy, one is not as aggrieved as when cut by the unkind words of a relative. Just see what Lord Shiva has just said. The words, unkind words of a relative, worse than an arrow. For such grief continues to rend one's heart day and night. My dear white-complexioned wife, Gauri, that's another name. All cell phones should be turned off. This is a sacrifice. Please turn off your cell phones. Now is the time to be like Lord Shiva and enter samadhi. We should be fully concentrating on the sacrifice, the sound vibration. The cell phone, the phone call can wait. My dear white-complexioned wife, it is clear that of the many daughters of Daksha, you are the pet. Yet, you will not be honored at his house because of your being my wife. Rather, you will be sorry that you are connected with me. One who is conducted by false ego and thus always distressed, both mentally and sensually, cannot tolerate the opulence of self-realized persons. Being unable to rise to the standard of self-realization, such a person envies others as much as demons envy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what a demon is. A demon is someone who envies God. And if you envy God, the next thing you're going to envy, devotees of God. Goes hand in hand. My dear young wife, certainly friends and relatives offer mutual greetings by standing up, welcoming one another, and offering obeisances. But those who are elevated to the transcendental platform, being intelligent, offer such respects to the super soul who is sitting within the body, not to the person who identifies with the body. This statement of Lord Shiva, most profound. As I mentioned on Monday in New Dwarka, this answers a lot of questions when other people ask us, why do you bow down? Because in some religious sects, you'll hear them say, I bow down to no man. That's all right. I'm not bowing down to a man. I'm bowing down to God in the body of the man, not to the man. That's what Lord Shiva just said. We offer respects how? By standing up, mutual greetings, welcoming, and offering obeisances. But not to the person who identifies with the body. To Krishna in the heart of the body. Once this is understood, no problema, as they say. Now here's the big statement of this particular reading, this particular section. The next thing Lord Shiva says is the most important thing. Lord Shiva now says to his wife, I am always engaged in offering obeisances to Lord Vasudeva. Everyone say. And what's another name for Vasudeva? Krishna, yes, just in case somebody had a doubt, yes, Vasudeva is Krishna. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. Yes, Vasudev is Krishna. After all, didn't we chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya? I am always engaged in offering obeisances to Lord Vasudev in pure Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is always pure consciousness, in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Vasudev, is revealed without any covering. Therefore, you should not see your father, although he is the giver of your body, because he and his followers are envious of me. Because of his envy, O most worshipful one, just see how he's speaking to his wife. O most worshipful one. Husbands, take a lesson from Lord Shiva. As my mother used to say, you can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. So the idea being that if you're always negative, 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 you're not going to get far. But sweet, very attractive. See how Lord Shiva is instructing his wife. He's not chastising. He's not beating her. Who can question Lord Shiva's stature? Anybody? Anybody better except for Krishna? Yes. So we should learn how to deal with the wife. Almost worse. I know the men are thinking, what are you, crazy? That I'm going to call my... Yes. He has insulted me with cruel words, although I am innocent. If in spite of this instruction you decide to go, neglecting my words, the future will not be good for you. You are most respectable, and when you are insulted by your relative, this insult will immediately be equal to death. Lord Shiva practically predicted the outcome. Because what happens right after this is, after hearing all this from her husband, Sati is like confused, and she wants to go. Her husband says she shouldn't go. So the Bhagavatam describes she's coming in and out of the room like a pendulum. You know what a pendulum is? Her mind is so disturbed, she doesn't know. Finally, she decides to go. Even though Lord Shiva said, I don't think it's a good idea, she goes anyway. And when she goes, her father doesn't receive her. He ignores her. So Sati becomes very angry. And she dresses herself in saffron cloth, sits down, and then gives a very stern lecture to her father. And she accuses her father of being materialistic, being envious. And she says to her father, actually, now that all of this has happened, when I think of myself as your daughter, I want to vomit. That's how disgusted she is with her husband, her father, that he has behaved so abominably to Lord Shiva, her husband, that she says, actually, the only solution is to give up this body. And that's exactly what she did. She sits down in meditation, and by her meditation, she meditates on the fiery elements, because we all know from Bhagavad Gita, Vaishvanara, how do we digest our food? Krishna says, I am the fire of digestion. So there's fire in the belly. So by meditating on those fiery elements, her body bursts into flames. In front of her mother, her sisters, her fathers, in front of everybody. Remember, there's a sacrifice going on. So this is quite a show that she puts on. She gives up her body. And it's a tremendous shock to everyone. Oh my God, Sati has immolated herself. So when she left Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva had her servants accompany her for protection. He wasn't going to let her just go alone. Woman has to always be protected. So when she left against Lord Shiva's instructions, still Lord Shiva had so many of his servants accompany her. So when she immolated herself, those servants went back to Lord Shiva and told what happened. Lord Shiva became very angry, and he took a hair from his head and dashed it and created a big demon, Virabhadra. And he said, go to the Daksha arena and kill them all. So Virabhadra and all of Lord Shiva's associates, they went to the yajna, and there was a big fight. And it says that Bhrigu is a powerful Brahmana demigod. He chanted some mantras and created a certain kind of demigod called Vibhus. So there was a big fight between Daksha's camp and the followers of Lord Shiva, and the followers of Lord Shiva were victorious. So Virabhadra wanted to personally kill Daksha. Virabhadra is the personified anger of Lord Shiva. Now, Lord Shiva, what's his main function? Destruction. So if Virabhadra is the personified anger of Lord Shiva, I don't think you want to mess with that. Talk about terrorism. That is the ultimate. So Virabhadra caught Daksha and sat on his chest and tried to kill him. But no matter what he did, he couldn't kill Daksha. No matter what kind of weapon he used, he couldn't sever Daksha's head. Then finally, there's a device, the sacrifice that they were going to do. They were going to sacrifice a goat. So there's a certain wooden instrument that is used when you have to sacrifice the goat. So Virabhadra took that wooden instrument, and that's how he cut off Daksha's head. And he took the head and did swaha and threw it into the sacrificial fire. And then all the followers of Lord Shiva said, Haribo! Because they had accomplished their goal. They had decimated the demigods. Some of them had lost their arms. Some of them lost their teeth. So I guess I'm following in the simplest succession. Some of them lost their eyes. Some of them lost their mustache. They got really badly defeated by Lord Shiva and his followers. So then they went back to Lord Shiva. So it doesn't end there. So after this, the demigods being sorely defeated, this is what happens after that. And this is a very nice, we're going to learn a lot more. But before we do that,